Copy of God's Word, I invite you to open up to Esther chapter 9. And while you're turning, I certainly want to give my happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Where in the world will we be without our moms? I don't know. And I know that not necessarily everyone either had a mother that was with them or had a mother that cared, but God brought someone into your life that loved you and cared for you and encouraged you. And we thank the Lord for our moms and all those special ladies that God has brought along the way. I want to say a special hello out there to all your moms in TV land. Special to my own mother. I hope she's watching. Hope you figured out how to work that thing. And also my mother-in-law as well. God bless you. Willing, if we don't float away in an ark, we hope to see you in a few hours. So we'll see how that works out. I tell you, the Bible tells us that there is a time to mourn, and there's a time to celebrate. Come on now, Baptist, what is that word? Dance. Time to dance. I'm sorry, it's in the Bible. I'm not sorry it's in the Bible, but for a Baptist, that's tough. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to
dance.
Yeah, so we're going to have a dance party this morning. Are you ready? Yeah, that's right. God is a God that loves the party. Didn't know if you knew that. That was exemplified in his own son, Jesus. You can always find him at a good party. He loved to be there. And whenever he showed up at any party, whether it was a party for a celebration for a wedding like in Cana, or whether it was a party, I guess you don't call it that, to celebrate the life that was well lived of a loved one, people were crying. When Jesus showed up, man, everything happened. Miracles took place on both ends. Now, if you were living as a Jew in Persia in the time of Esther, at this moment in time, you had something to celebrate. Big time. All these things were building up to go against you and your family, your loved ones, your neighbor, the community. You were under a death sentence. Do you realize that? You would have been there. And then God did something amazing and saved you from that. And God is in the business of us celebrating that. Now, I have to tell you that this passage really unfolds very easily. In verses 20 through 22, we have what is the call for celebration. This is very important. I want us to focus just for a moment on that word call. That word call has the idea of intent. There's something specific. We often talk about that in Christian circles, about, well, he was called to the ministry, or the missionary was called to the field. What are we talking about? We're talking about an intentional tapping on the shoulder by God himself for you or me or someone to do something specific for him. We just don't go out there and do whatever we want. This calling isn't just a random thing. You just don't randomly go from here to there in God's plan. I'll never forget when we lived in West Palm Beach, Florida, we were teaching school there, and Ron and Linda Comfort were down there with us at the time, and it was Christmas, and we were going to go come up to Elkhart, Indiana for Christmas time and fly. So we searched the flights that would get us there fastest and whenever we could get there during the Christmas season. And so we got the tickets and everything. So, okay, we're all planned. We're going to go, and it's going to be a great time. So we get in the car. I'm an early guy. I don't know about some of you. Some of you might like that. We don't have to leave until you like back up on the flight. I'm the kind of guy that will show up an hour early, just because things happen. And there's good reason for that. So as we quickly get down to the airport, Fort Lauderdale Airport, we got dropped off and walked in there, checked in, and the lady said, Mr. and Mrs. Treadway, we don't have a record of your flight on this airline. What do you mean? I got my ticket right here. She says, that's right. It's for the Miami airport. You're in the wrong one, and it was rush hour. What are you going to do? First of all, you're glad you went an hour early. But it was just jam-packed with traffic. We said, I don't know what I can't rent a car, so I got a taxi. And I said, guy, we got to be here at this time. I'm so glad we did. That guy drove like a maniac through traffic on the wrong side of the road, in the ditch, on the mountaintop, whatever. He got us there on time. You see, some people think about the call like, well, you know, it's the call. It doesn't matter what airport I go to. I want to go to this airport. Not with God. There's a specific call. There's a specific airline. There's a specific flight. He's calling you and I to. He wants you and I to be a part of that. Did you know that God called us to be partners with Him in Jesus Christ? He called us intentionally, specifically, to partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's a call. That's specific. You can't decide, well, I don't want that. I'm going to go to my own airport and get my own flight. That plane don't fly. Okay? So we've been called specifically to be partners. We've also, in Galatians, been called to freedom. Freedom from sin and judgment and all those things in Jesus Christ. We have been called. That's an intentional thing God did for us at the cross. He called us to Himself through His Son. So I got to tell you, when I come up on this word and I think about the call for celebration, this is serious stuff. God has intentionally called you and I to party for Jesus. Now, I know some of you have a hard time with the word party, because if you're growing up as I did in the 60s and 70s, the word party has a connotation to it that's negative to the Christian mind frame. Let's claim the word back. Let's Christianize the word, okay? I'm tired of the world taking words away from us. We should celebrate. We should party in our Lord Jesus Christ for all He's done for us. And so this call is specific, and I want you to see something about it. Did you notice right away in verse 20? The call is for everyone to celebrate. Everyone. Everyone. Did you catch that there? It's for all the ages, all the people, all the Jews. Right there. So it's male, female, old, young, healthy, not so healthy, skinny, more plump, whatever it is, it's a call specifically to celebrate all. Recently, I went to a first time ever, recently went to a baby shower. I was actually invited to one. So when does a guy get invited to a baby shower, and when does a guy actually want to go to one, all right? When I was a kid, I really thought the ladies got together and took showers. It's a very weird image in my mind. No one explained it to me. Mom didn't say what they did. So I'm going to a shower, and I'm thinking, I got one right here. But anyway, that's what the ladies did. They all went together, and they took showers. But we got the call. It was so much fun. It was with another family that their kids and our kids, they all grew up together in Danville. And these two young ladies who I had coached soccer when they were just in the U5s. You remember the U5, right? It's like mass chaos. And you're basically literally, that's why they let coaches on the field, because you literally have to chase them and grab them from saying hi to their grandparents to get them back over here. And I remember kids bringing up, during the middle of the game, I had one girl run up to me and said, "Coach, guess what?" And the game's going on, by the way. "What?" "I found a four-leaf clover." "All right, woo!" So, you know, from that, and now both these sisters are having babies at the same time. That was a time, we had so many old friends there. It was a time to party and celebrate. That's a time to party and have a good time. So here we have simply the same idea that everyone here is to be there. Everyone. Now, I didn't know if you understood the word all. Does that mean that someone here is not to come? I know how Americans are. Come on. We're a culture that we're very individualistic. Amen. Good or for bad, that's the way we are. It's not the way, it's not here in this more of an Eastern Old Testament feel. They're much more community oriented in a sense that everybody's important. Everybody needs to be a part of it. Let's make decisions together and help one another. And so, but for us, it's like, yeah, well, I don't have to go. Not here. Not according to this. 127 promises, He expected every last one of them to be at the party. No one gets out. And that kind of leads us to our next thing. Everyone is called to participate in this party. To participate. There aren't any lone wolves. Did you see that? I think it's in verse 22 where it says that they, that being all the Jews, should make for them days of, and Baptists love this word, I'll get an amen here, feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. I think the first thing we have to see here is not just the invitations, it's for everybody. And by the way, everyone's expected to show up. It's more than that. I've been to parties myself that I didn't necessarily want to go to. Anybody been there? And maybe you've been to a party. Doug, put your hand down. And then you've been to a party that that you liked, but maybe someone else didn't. And that person's over there sitting in the corner. They're doing this on their phone, right? Yeah, they're all by themselves. No, not in this party. This party, everybody participates. Everybody, young, old, we're going to eat. We're going to share our food. We're going to get gifts to the poor. We're going to get gifts to one another. And it's going to be a great time, and everybody does it. No one sits in the corner. No one pouts. No one does their own thing. They're all involved on this party. This is a party of celebration for what God has done. There is no spectators here. There is no room for spectators in church either. We don't have time for that. There's plenty of that in the world. People just watching, waiting for their next stimulus check to come. Sorry to get political. And they're not out there doing what God's called them to do. We need to be participating. We need to be celebrating. And celebrating everyone together. I want you to notice a word here, though, that comes up twice. Two times in this first section, the word gladness. This is a great word to study. It's defined in different ways all throughout the Old Testament. Oftentimes, it's defined as joyful. But here's the intent of it. It has the idea of gladness from within. So when you go to this party, guess what? You're not putting on a plastic face. You don't get in front of the church and go, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. But you're really thinking this, I can't wait till that guy shuts up. You come and you worship and you're focused and you're sincere and your heart is right. That's what gladness is about. You study that word out and the idea of joyful as well. They come from the same Hebrew word. It's the idea of that my heart before God is right. I am not a perfect man, but it's between God and me, I have made my heart as much as I can right with Him. Confession, repentance, and I'm ready to worship, and I'm ready to have joy. That's what gladness is. It's on the outside, but it's more than that. It's more than that. And that's where sometimes we trip up. For the Jews, it was an outward expression. Yes. So when you and I grow up together, we're going to be like Sam and Wendy. I don't know about you, but I love hearing people that are able to express that. Now, listen, that's not a dig on you and me, because we're all different. And we all express ourselves differently. And I don't expect all of us to, I can't even do it. I tried to do it, Sam, I did. Woo! That's the best I could do. All right? That's with a mic, though. I don't think anybody would hear me. Or Wendy, how she just does it so naturally. But it's an expression outwardly. We may not hoot. We may not make those kind of motions. But there is nothing restricting us from praising God. We're not worried about others around us. What if I raise my hand? Oh, no. The deacons will call me in next month. No. Gladness is an attitude of the heart, and it's an expression of the hand. And they work together. And I would ask you, when was the last time you and I, metaphorically speaking, danced in church? Did you come here ready for a good dance? Did you come here ready to do the shuffle? Did you come here ready to clap? Did you come here ready to rejoice? When you enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, I don't read anywhere where it says, enter his gates with mourning and into his courts with anxiety. Where's that from? We already carry that all week long, don't we? We struggle with that. God says, come into my house. It's a great place, and I am here, and we're here to worship together. You can praise, you can clap, you can amen, and it can all be to the Lord. It's not for show. It's not to impress me or the person next to you. It's not to even impress God. It's out of thankfulness to him. And when was the last time you did that anyway for anything? I thought about that because I struggle with this. You know, I grew up in a pretty conservative church. So we were taught that praising was done a certain way. Okay, fine, but it's a little more cut loose than that here. And I thought, what was the last time I really hooped and hollered? Well, the last time was when my youngest boy graduated from high school. They have good rules. I understand it. I get it. The rules are there, and they don't want people to hoot and holler because it makes the thing go so much longer. And with the other three, I did my best, but I just couldn't for number four. It was like, yes, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. And then when my kids graduated from college, it was even more, right? It was like, whoa, I don't have to pay tuition anymore. Woo! That wasn't the best motive, but I hooted and hollered. And every about 25 or 30 years, I get to holler for the Colts because they do something good. So, and I'm an Orioles fan, so I'm still waiting for that day. And I thought about that, and I said, I really did. I'm serious now. I'm thinking, I don't feel comfortable sometimes with that in church. And yet, let me tell you what, because I think some of you are here as well. You kind of relate with me. You don't necessarily want to do all that, but the Lord is moving on your heart. And there are times where you feel like, and the tears come to your eyes, and you are just so overwhelmed with the Spirit of God and his blessedness. And I tell you, you just want to, and there are those moments, you have them like me. Sometimes it's in a car, listen to a song. And it's all you could do not to crash into somebody. Because all you could do is say, God, thank you so much. Because I didn't deserve it. Look what you did. And he brings a memory back. You weren't even thinking about that. And go back 37 years ago. What? God does it. He does it. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a minute. So he calls us to celebrate everybody. He calls everybody to participate. There aren't any spectators in church. We're all supposed to be part of this. And we're supposed to take this with our whole self, not just intellectually. Oh, please. Yes, know the Lord. He is good. But express that in your worship. It's part of it. Hair, heart, and hands. But I want you to understand something. This is more, I'm broadening myself outside of Esther. If you study the festivals and the celebrations that God has called his people and his church to do, I want you to know something. He takes those things very seriously. There is a passage in Deuteronomy 28. You don't have to turn. But Deuteronomy 28, you can write it down and read it later. There's a verse that just stands out and it just smacks us right in the face. He's speaking to Israel and why they're getting in trouble. It says, look, you're in trouble because you did not serve the Lord. This is verse 47. You did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. You want me to read that again? I mean, there's a lot of things that I could get, God could get mad at me about, but that's it. So you did not serve the Lord. Notice the word serve. I love it. That is an expression of your worship, is service. I know who's truly worshiping, and I know when I'm truly worshiping when I put to action my faith. And so here we have, you didn't serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. And because of all the great things he's done for you, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Whoa! God takes his worship seriously. We just can't flippantly come in here. And I know how it works. Mothers know more than fathers probably, but getting everybody together before church. For the 12th time, it's time to go. Trying to get it to church with everything that could happen. You guys know the stories. And then you hit the parking lot, you've got to put on the face of Jesus, right? How you doing today, brother? Fine. I'm doing great. God takes his celebration seriously. And we have to. We must. It doesn't mean our life is perfect. If you think for 1 minute that all of this is about everything's good in my life, you've missed the point. This isn't about how tough life is. This is about how great God is. And then at the end of the day, and at the end of the story, guess who wins? God. God wins. Your Lord, your Savior, he's already won. That's what it's about. You got to take it seriously. God also expects us and calls us to celebrate regularly. Did you catch that in verse 21? Talks about it. You need to do it year after year. Keep it. We're not just doing it at one time. We do it all the time. There is a lot that we can celebrate. And if there's only one thing we could celebrate today, if that one thing is our eternal salvation, what a reason to rejoice! We're going to heaven, praise the Lord, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you trusting in him? Salvation is offered freely. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he lives forevermore, and he offers the free gift of salvation. But you, my friend, have to turn around from whatever is your trust again. Don't trust in church. Don't trust in just reading the Bible. Don't trust in your good works. It's not going to get you to heaven. Only the Son will get you to the Father, Jesus Christ. You got to trust in him. That simply means I am not trusting in anything I'm doing. I'm trusting in everything God has already done. And you get salvation. So we're called for this great celebration. But I want you to see, the second section is not just a call, now it's a cause. Kind of interesting that the cause is in the middle, but there it is. So what's the reason? Why do we celebrate? Well, the explanation is given there in that second section, 23 through 25. He talks about how when it came before the king, the enemy of the Jews, that he gave the orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons there should be hanged on the gallows. Man, that's amazing. So God simply did something amazing right here. He took people that were destined to die to death, and he flipped the script. He flipped it. You and I were walking a certain narrative for many years. I don't know, it's different ages for different people. But we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And we were walking and writing our own narrative. There might be some here today that are writing their own narrative. And it's not a narrative that's going to ever please God or get you to heaven, even if your best efforts, because he only accepts his Son. And so you're writing this narrative, and you're doomed to die, and I'm doomed to die without Christ. And then comes grace, and Christ flips the script. He says, it's not what you can do, it's what I've already done. Will you trust in that? And so here, the cause for celebration is that God did this for them. Now today, we honor our moms, and I think about that's a cause for celebration. Even if we didn't have the greatest mothers in the world necessarily, there might be some that way. It's the way life is sometimes. God has brought into your life godly women, people that can encourage you. Whatever your situation is, we can be thankful to him for that. That's a reason to celebrate. And I hope you'll take time today to do just that. Some of our mothers might be in heaven. Others aren't all here in many different ways, physically or even mentally. We're going to go up and see our moms hopefully soon, and we're so blessed to still have them with us. You know, they're not as strong as they want to be and able to get to church like they'd love to, but they're still serving the Lord. But I've talked about my mom a lot, but I haven't talked a whole lot about my mother-in-law. There's no joke there. I just want to this morning. She won't, even if she's watching, she may not remember. But just some of the great ways that she was a blessing to us. I knew right away when I was dating Dawn in high school. Yes, we dated in high school. And started to, you know, go out a few times, and then you get invited over the house, right? So you go over there, and I knew right away I was a blessed man. I walked in there, and I smelled the roast. I was already in love. I wasn't sure with who yet, but I was in love. And man, I don't know if they normally, in fact, I asked Dawn this morning before I came in here, I said, did your mom cook like that every Sunday or just when the Sundays I was coming over? I mean, she would make tons of food. Now, I know I eat a lot, but I ate a whole lot more back then, especially off-season, at wrestling, that is. And I remember her huge meals and how she blesses. And I knew this was got to be the family for me. When she asked me to go get something out of the cabinet, I walked in there and I opened the cabinet, and there they all sat, dozens of candy bars. I found my wife! She was great that way. In fact, she played organ at First Baptist in Elkhart for, I think, 50 years. And piano. All the kids loved her. It was the first time I went. I didn't understand what the big deal was with Dawn's mom, because all the kids, the second, you know, they sang Just As I Am for the 12th time, and they were done, and it was over, the kids would sprint, and there would be a lineup at the organ. I said, what's going on over there? She's got a purse this big. Now I know why. She's passing out candy. And the kids loved her. She taught Sunday school for years and years and years. She is so funny, and she's still funny now, even with dementia. And we're blessed. We're blessed. We go up there, and oh, I'll never forget. I've already told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again about, you know, she, playing all those years, we had wondered why she never tried to play at the home she's at. And of course, her excuse to the workers was, I don't know how to play. I can't play. When we heard that, we got up to, we told the workers, she's lying to you. You know, she doesn't remember. Just roll her up. So we rolled her up to the piano, and she refused at first. I don't know how to play that. I don't know. Just play Amazing Grace. I never heard of that song. It's the toughness of illness, isn't it? I said, Mom, just start playing. It was as if she hadn't lost a thing. Amazing. We have it recorded. We couldn't believe it. She's playing like amazing piano player she was. We have reason to celebrate God's gifts to us. She's not what she used to be, but she's everything she always was in Christ. And one day, she's going to remember my name. I'll never forget a couple of months ago when I went up there and we were talking with her, socially distancing, 6 feet away, and she has real concerns about eternal, not eternal security, but just heaven in general. What was it all about? And she looked right at Dawn, and I'm sitting next to her. She says, I sure wish there was a preacher here I could ask questions. If I didn't know better, I think she's pulling my chain. And that's the way she was. We're blessed to have moms, aren't we? We are. People that are moms to us. It might be a sister. It might be an aunt. It might be a friend. But we're blessed. And you and I have an obligation, I think a responsibility, to celebrate that. Whenever we can, as long as we can, celebrate it. And even when they're gone, and I know some of your moms are gone, you can still celebrate what God has done and look forward to what he's going to do. But here we have a cause for it as well. God just took something really bad, and by his grace, he flipped it. And he could do that in your life right now. I don't know what it is you're going through, but it isn't worse than Haman the Agagite, okay? This guy was just bad news. He was evil. He was seriously had his sights set on an individual. And everyone else around him that was related to him was going to get it too. And you might feel that way because it's overwhelming and the burden seems so hard. But I want you to know God loves, he's in the business of taking that, what seems like despair, and flips it right around and gives us light and hope. And he always does that through Christ. We have cause for celebration. But the final one here is in the last few verses of 26 through 32. We've had the call for celebration. It's a command, really. And we have the cause for it. But now we have this whole idea of commemoration. And we can see it here in 27 and 28 that the Jews obligated themselves to do what? They were going to do this every year, celebrate it every year at this time that was appointed for it. And that these days should be remembered through every generation. And that they would never fall into disuse. They would continue on and on and on and on. Why? Why do I have to keep celebrating? Can't I be sincerely thankful one time and be done with it? What's the big deal about it? The Bible is clear on this. By celebrating, we are pulled back into that whole attitude and heart of what God has already done for us, because we're a people that tend to forget. We do. I mean, we might intellectually remember things, but we get disconnected with our heart. And God brings us back to say, well, let's go back to this and let's remember what I've done and what I've done for you specifically. But it's not just that, it's looking forward to what God's going to do as well. Does that sound a lot like church? It's like church is supposed to be. It also not just speaks to what God has done and what he's going to do. It speaks about a heart attitude. It's a heart attitude. When you and I come to the Lord's table, we ought to come with an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of humility. And God, in his ordinances with the church, does just that. You and I come together at the Lord's table, and what do? We remember. We don't forget. Don't ever forget what Christ has done for you. Change your life every day. But it's not just the Lord's table. Baptism's another thing. Baptism isn't part of salvation. Baptism is a testimony of what God has already done for you. And so when you're getting baptized and you're placed under the water and you come up, you're telling everybody else, I want to tell you what God's already done for me. He has saved me by grace and I'm so thankful and I'm a new man. I'm cleansed. I'm clean. That's what baptism. This is the church now. You can see the connections between old and new coming together. And then how about worship? Oh, worship is so important. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we need that time with God collectively, and nobody gets it out. We get, obviously, if you're sick and ill and you shouldn't be here, that's one thing. But when we talk about people say, well, you know what? I want to go to this airport. I want to go over here. I like worshiping God in the woods by myself. There's no free pass. God has called all of us to this celebration. God has called all of us to participate. There are no spectators in church. There's not supposed to be. And so he calls us to that. So we have this worship together, looking back on what God has done and looking forward to what he's going to do. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? Can you imagine for a moment? This world is almost gone. We're almost home. We're almost home. We're almost home.
I thought of Esther after the first service yesterday, or this morning, yesterday. I had a first service yesterday. Where was everybody? What's wrong with you folks? And I thought she grew up without a mother. Right? There might be some people like that. Guys and gals that grew up without a mom around for whatever reason. Well, she may have been there physically, but she wasn't there. Or maybe she wasn't there physically. I want to tell you, God did something amazing through Esther. He brought other people into her life that filled that role and helped her to be all that she could be in God for her people. Now, I don't want you and I to walk out of here and not have an attitude of celebration, even in the small things, the little things that God brings into our lives every day. Because when we have that attitude of celebration, it is so magnetically attractive. Other people go, why are you so happy? Didn't you read the latest report on television, what's going on in Washington, D.C.? I actually try to avoid that. But you just got to have a, well, listen, I tell you what. Yes, things are bad. Yes, things could get worse. But I got something better than that. I got a Savior who's got it all under control. And I just read through a book of a society that was in deep trouble, and God saved the day, and he'll do the same for you, but you got to trust him. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, even as a Christian, I'm not going to get this done very well on my own. I'm turning it to you. We have so much to celebrate every day, every week, and every year. So would you join me and let's have a party for Jesus? Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are thankful for how you celebrate us, your good thoughts towards us through Christ, how you love us, and how every day is an opportunity to make the right choices, to walk in holiness and obedience unto you. And Father, we thank you that we are just on our way to a bigger party soon, where all the saints will be gathered. And there'll be no more sin, no more dementia, no more missing our planes, no more sorrow, no more sickness. There'll just be joy and gladness forevermore. Lord, we live in a society even here that needs to hear that from us. We cannot separate ourselves from the horrible choices that America is making. We get that. But as we interact with those things, help us to make sure that we bring in the gladness of Christ, the hope that's found in the gospel. And I pray that we can be salt and light in this community. Pray for my brothers and sisters today that are struggling with the whole idea of celebration. Life has maybe been tough for them in many ways, as it has for all of us at some point. I pray that they'll get a glimpse that even in the darkest of times, you were there, you can flip that script and bring joy once again where there was mourning. I ask now for those who need to make decisions concerning their walk with you. Maybe there's someone here watching or someone even in the presence here this morning in this auditorium that have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would do that even now. They would simply by faith open up and confess that Jesus is Lord, that you raised him from the dead, and that they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save them. Help us to share that with others as we celebrate our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.